Mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are at a crossroads.
There is sort of this question of what is the future of serving affordable housing in this country?
And they're getting closer. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Democrats are nearing an agreement with the White House on a trade deal with Mexico and Canada.
It's no use discussing it any longer. Either yes or no.
Plus, the stars are aligned. Geminis rule. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at the future of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and what it could mean for mortgages, here's what you missed. At our CEO Council event in Washington last night, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that Democrats in the White House are almost on the same page to strike a trade deal with Mexico and Canada.
We're close. We're not quite finished yet, but we're within range. That's the way I would say it. And it is something that hopefully, if we can work out the final details, which is just like a moment of truth, it's no use discussing it any longer, either yes or no, in terms of both sides on this.
President Trump also said progress is being made. A Trump administration official said that U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer is expected to travel to Mexico today to meet with officials on revisions to the pact. We're exclusively reporting that antivirus software maker McAfee is considering a bid for Norton LifeLock. The consumer software company has a market value of nearly $16 billion. As of now, there's no guarantee of a deal. An update on that deadly volcanic eruption that we told you about in New Zealand yesterday. As of this recording, 5 people are confirmed dead, dozens injured, and 8 more people are missing and feared dead. New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern spoke about the rescue efforts.
The scale of this tragedy is devastating. Police and Defence Force personnel have undertaken a number of aerial reconnaissance flights over the island since the eruption. However, no signs of life have been detected. In the immediate aftermath of the eruption, a number of helicopter pilots made the conscious decision to fly to the island to try to rescue people.
Away she goes. Steph Corey, the co-founder and chief executive of the luggage startup Away, is stepping down. Corey's departure comes after an article in The Verge last week criticized her management style as harsh. The article cited former employees. Corey later apologized in a tweet and said she'd hired an executive coach. Lululemon's chief operating officer, Stuart Hasselden, will succeed Corey as Away CEO. The company said that co-founder Jen Rubio will stay on as president and chief brand officer. Now, our main story this morning, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. These, of course, are the two mortgage giants that were bailed out by the government during the financial crisis. The Trump administration wants to return them to private ownership. Now we're reporting that part of that process has involved taking a closer look at risk. Risk in the sense meaning the types of loans that the two firms back. Their regulator, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, said it wants them to be able to better withstand an economic downturn. But critics have said that Fannie and Freddie's attempts to rein in risk mean they're pulling back on some mortgages meant to make homeownership more affordable. Our J.R. Whalen has been finding out more from reporter Ben Eisen.
So, Ben, which specific kinds of loans are Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac cutting back on?
What you're seeing is Fannie and Freddie are cutting back on loans that have sort of an affordability-oriented mission to them. These are loans that are going to people who either put down small down payments through special low down payment programs or people who are paying more than, is normal share of their income to make these loans.
Are those potential borrowers that the two agencies deem as being more risky?
Yeah, generally these are riskier. So the low down payment borrowers, they just have less skin in the game. And people who are paying more of their income towards a mortgage are also seen as riskier. They have sort of less breathing room if they lose a job or something like that. So these are mortgages where Fannie and Freddie sort of have to make that balance between what is considered helping people achieve homeownership and shouldering some of the extra risk that might come with it.
And the regulator behind Fannie and Freddie says this is being done, for the most part, in case of trouble down the road.
Well, there's a couple reasons they're doing it. One is, to prepare for a downturn in case one comes. The other is because the regulator is trying to get Fannie and Freddie out of conservatorship. Remember, they were seized by the government in 2008, and since then have kind of been under government control. And Fannie and Freddie are seen to, you know, they need to build profits, they need to build capital if they're going to sort of escape conservatorship and stand on their own. And cutting back on some of these loans, you know, is one way to increase profit and therefore help them get on their way.
But this move is raising criticism about potentially Fannie and Freddie not servicing borrowers with more modest incomes.
Yeah, I think there is some criticism that as Fannie and Freddie try to, you know, get out of conservatorship, and part of that may mean kind of constraining their footprint, which means not branching into all of these areas in which they, you know, might be serving people who need it the most. And, you know, as this gets underway, there is sort of this question of what is the future of serving affordable housing in this country.
You can find Ben's full article up on WSJ.com. On to markets. We're going to turn to China. Figures out today showed that inflation remains a problem there. Consumer prices in November rose at their fastest pace since 2012. Another release revealed that Chinese auto sales in November declined for the 17th straight month. So what's an investor to think about the world's second largest economy? Quentin Webb has more.
These are two worrying data points, really, about the health of the Chinese economy. It's not great that inflation is rising quite rapidly, nor is it great, of course, that car sales continue to fall. But it's easy to overstate how bad both of these things are. While car sales continue to fall, the decline has kind of moderated. So year over year, car sales fell less than 4% last month. And actually, if you compare that with kind of double-digit percentage declines earlier in the year, that seems to be troughing too. So two pretty depressing data points, but easy to overstate the implication, I think, for the broader Chinese economy.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. House Democrats are expected to draft at least two articles of impeachment against President Trump. They could be released as soon as today. Three Democratic aides told us they'll likely draft one article on abuse of power. This would be related to allegations that the president pressured Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden. A second article will likely deal with obstruction of Congress. That would be related to the president's moves to block aides from participating in the impeachment investigation. That could set the judiciary up for a vote on impeachment later this week. The president has repeatedly said that he did nothing wrong and that the impeachment inquiry is a hoax. Republicans have defended that position and said that Democrats are relying on secondhand information for their case. Elsewhere in Washington, the Federal Reserve kicks off its final two-day policy meeting of the year today. We're not expecting a rate cut at the end of this meeting. The current target federal funds rate is between 1.5 and 1.75%. Finally, as we've been telling you over the past few weeks, Britons will head to the polls on Thursday in the most divisive general election in decades. The future of the UK's relationship with the EU is at stake. But whether it's current Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Conservative Party that wins or his rival Jeremy Corbyn's Labour Party, one thing is certain. The next leader of the United Kingdom will be a Gemini. And they're not the only astro twins who are in charge. Denise Rowland has more.
There is an unusual preponderance of Geminis in Anglo-American politics right now. So President Trump, his Vice President Mike Pence are both Geminis. And so Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the UK, and his biggest rival Jeremy Corbyn, one of whom will likely be the Prime Minister by Friday, also Geminis. President Xi Jinping of China is also a Gemini, as it happens.
If you're wondering what the stars tell us about Geminis as leaders, well, here's Denise again.
Geminis kind of have a bad rap astrologically. They're kind of jokingly referred to as the worst sign. They're the sign of the twins. They're born under Mercury, that's their planet. This can be a good thing for leadership too. So they are communicative, they're charming, but the twins thing means they're also two-faced. So I guess they might make good leaders at particular times. We're in particularly turbulent political times, and astrologers have reasons for that too. And that might well be why so many Geminis have risen to positions of leadership at this time.
And in the interest of fairness and transparency, I should say here that I'm a Gemini myself. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.